For Cucky A, cuckoldry simply continued without ever being openly named. His wife continued to go to parties, happy hours, and even dates. And he continued to wait at home with that curious mix of arousal and anxiety that accompanies the cuckold life for many. At a certain point, he'd undress, get into bed, and wait. And when his wife arrived, she would disrobe without a word, straddle his face, sharing the creamy fruits of her night while he wanked his little penis. At one point, she began to get a bit more bold. He came home from work early one day to find a strange, strapping, shirtless man on his couch. She came out of the bedroom wearing something slutty even for her, with a tray of cold drinks, a braless halter top, a pair of Daisy Dukes, and some open-toed sky-high heels. Such had his conditioning over time become that when she scolded him for showing up to his own home at an inopportune time, he felt bashful and contrite before turning around and leaving once again to sit at a coffee shop until he was told he could come back. But then they started a family and moved to the suburbs. Cucky A had a welcome reprieve, he thought, from his ongoing humiliation. But when the early years of family life had passed and they both had more freedom, his wife decided that she wanted to go back to work. She began as an assistant for a regional manager for high-end fitness centers. Back were the late nights. Back were the smaller and smaller outfits, and the soccer mom body gave way once again to the dangerous curves with the benefit of the personal training services that came complimentary as part of working for her boss. Cucky A began to complain in the mild, skittish way of the beta male who doesn't expect his concerns to be validated, even if well-founded. But his wife reassured him that her boss's skills in motivation and training extended well beyond lifting weights, and that he could help Cucky A become comfortable with the situation. Something about that suggestion alarmed Cucky A greatly, and he demurred. But as Cucky A's wife became more and more absorbed in her new job, the subject continued to come up. Soon, she mentioned that her boss was so pleased with her work that he wanted her to begin to accompany him to different fitness sites around the region, and within the context of things that are known but unsaid, which Cucky remembered from all those years ago when she used to come home and sit on his face after a night out. The prospect of what could happen when they were on their travels sent him into a tailspin. This time, when his wife suggested that he come to the gym and just take a look at him from afar, her boss, it might calm his nerves. He agreed, and if you'd asked him on the spot, he would deny it. But there was something making him more nervous than the prospect of his wife going off with a strapping black stud. Something more alarming even than the prospect of his wife getting off with a strapping black stud. The two of them went to the gym together one day. Both worked out. Cucky A caught a glimpse of his wife's boss as they chatted in the office off of the weight floor, but Cucky quickly averted his eyes. Somehow, catching a glimpse of him made him feel worse, not better. He finished his workout, found his wife, who had also finished hers. She said they would meet in the lobby after they'd both showered and dressed. Cucky said he would shower at home, but his wife said that she wanted to run some errands after they left the club and didn't want him stinking up the car. So, he complied. The shower facilities in the locker room were the old-fashioned variety, one big tiled room with nozzles spaced every few feet or so. It seemed that he had the whole locker room to himself. One concession to privacy were the curtains that could be pulled around the general area of a nozzle to create a sort of stall Cucky A peeled off his sweaty workout clothes and left them near his locker, bringing his toiletries to a nozzle and pulling the curtains around him. Shortly after he soaped up under the hot water, hoping to wash away the sense of nebulous anxiety he still felt, along with the sweat, he heard the sound of someone else outside. And when the footsteps, along with a lighthearted whistling tune, seemed to draw closer, his heart rate rose. A little note about paranoia. Just because you're paranoid, it doesn't mean no one is after you. There's got to be an equivalent to that regarding anxiety. Perhaps anxiety is the reverberations of instinct left over from the more primitive days of the antecedents of Homo sapiens, something that, still to this day, alerts prey animals that predators are near. In any case, Cucky's anxiety was prophetic. When his wife's boss pulled back the curtain and stepped into the stall, he towered over Cucky A, a smooth-skinned, muscled chocolate colossus who dwarfed Cucky's slightly below-average height by almost a foot. Between his legs, away from which Cucky quickly averted his eyes after the initial shocking glimpse, swung a piece of meat that flaccid was twice as long as Cucky's little weasel and twice as thick. Beneath it, two perfectly clean-shaven low-hanging balls, each the size of a large avocado. There was no way to avoid his gaze when he stuck out his hand to shake, though meeting his eyes was no easier for Cucky than keeping his eyes averted from the impossibly intimidating genitals. "Hi, I'm Chuck." Cucky shook quickly and then brought his hand down to meet its partner, cupped over the shame between his legs. "I thought we should meet. Your wife said you were feeling a bit nervous about this arrangement, and I just wanted to reassure you that I've got a lot of experience in shepherding couples through situations just like this. I prefer to employ women, particularly married women, and their husbands are often nervous about the dynamic." Cucky felt that he should say something, anything, but couldn't muster the words. He felt incredibly vulnerable, cornered even, and so very, very small. Even as Chuck continued to chat casually and cordially about the way things were going to be, Cucky's eyes searched for a place to land comfortably while Chuck talked. Darting up to meet Chuck's eyes in a futile attempt at being present in some semblance of manhood, and then, try as he might to avoid it, down at the impossibly huge cock and balls. And with a devastating sense of humiliation, he could feel his little dicklet plumping up beneath his hands. Cucky had been so consumed by trying to find his psychological footing in the midst of this that he didn't even hear everything Chuck said. But his attention snapped into focus when Chuck seemed to be prepared to release him from captivity. "You done with the water? I'm gonna shower up." Yes, sir. Cucky stammered, stepping sideways from under the nozzle to switch places. Chuck stuck his hand out once again to seal the conversation, and though he would have rather died than reveal his diminutive arousal, Cucky shook hands quickly, hoping that one hand that remained was enough to preserve the few drops of dignity he could still pretend he had. "Great. Nice meeting you. I'll be by the house and we'll talk more. Just so you can be sure you understand how all this works." And if he had any manhood left, as I've said many times before to cuckolds who just seem to find themselves in cuckold situations, he would have objected. He would have put his foot down somehow. He would have poked a finger in the massive muscular chest of his wife's boss, quote unquote, and told him to stay clear. But he didn't. And the fact that he didn't perhaps made him even more helpless against things to come. Between then and now, Chuck has done just what he proposed, established order in their lives, as he had done with many couples in the past, established a hierarchy a chain of command. Cucky was, of course, at the bottom, and therefore advice, training, and instructions came from Chuck through his wife most of the time as to how Cucky should manage the household and his emotions while she traveled for work and for pleasure. When the two of them were together, they increasingly began to watch cuckold porn. A white couple with an authoritative black man and his huge cock in the center of it all. Or, more often than not, a white woman with one or more black cocks stuffing her to her delight, her loving it, and no white husband in sight. It was really the only kind of sexual intimacy the two shared now, aside from a stray hand job here and there. And what Cucky had to begin to admit to himself, like many other things he'd had to admit to himself, is that the porn was not only something he endured so that he could spend intimate time of some sort with his wife, but something he enjoyed. Yes, he enjoyed the thought of his wife's activities on the road mirroring those on the video, but increasingly, he had to admit that he was first fascinated and then aroused by the cocks themselves. Then, they became what he looked at most of all. They became the linchpin that made him come all over his wife's lazily pumping fingers. Therefore, it was no surprise that when, on one such getaway, Chuck just happened to show up to the resort. It was no surprise when, at some point, Cucky found a real live big black cock right in front of his face. It didn't take much prodding to induce him to take it in his hand, as instructed, to feel its girth and weight, to harden as it hardened. And finally, with his wife watching, with both approval and a touch of derision, to take it in his mouth. I think much more has transpired since then, but when we talk, Cucky can never seem to get past this point before he figuratively scurries away. But I know he has both read and listened to this blog series. And he says that I've portrayed things exactly as they were and are, except for perhaps a minor detail here and there. He agrees that he never would have expected things to turn out this way. But then, that's the essence of the seduced cuckold, after all. I know that many of you have waited for a long time for the conclusion to this tale, and I hope that the wait has been worth it. If you've experienced stirrings while reading and reflecting that you'd like to discuss further, please feel free to get in touch at 1-800-356-6169. Goodbye.